40 chess. Yeah. 40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Let's get it.
Yo, is that Tito?
40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Hey. Forty chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go. Tap in and watch, that's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in. Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop harming, can fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the socials. 40 chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the wall too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 chess. This is 40 chess.
I was just thinking about it today. It just feels like it's like something when you become a manager. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie Waiting, or you saw it.
Oh, like, dude, I was just telling people in New York that y'all got to see Waiting. Yes.
It really feels like the movie Waiting. Like, there's something different when you become a manager. You go in your little fucking club. Thinking yep. Better than us.
Fucking dickheads. Yeah, I mean... It's crazy, though. It really is. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's it. Mike, can I tell you, I think there might be a cyclical thing, though. I think it might be people are so used to being beaten on by management that they feel like it's now my time. It's now my time. Yeah.
Got to give it out.
Now it's my time to whip these mugs.
It really doesn't make me appreciate the good ones, like people who run companies or in management positions who are good at their job, you know?
Oh, 100%. I think that's just in life, though. Like, there's so many things that are done wrong that when things are done right, you're like, all right, this is how it's supposed to be. But it makes you appreciate it. It's kind of like, you know, everyone's like, oh man, I had a bad day. Well, if you didn't have them bad days, you would never appreciate your good days, because every day would be good, you know?
I got an email about, hey, I'm going to need all your vacation requests put in for the rest of the year, you know, so I can get staffing in place. And I'm like, I don't think that's how that fucking works. So, of course, you got to go look at the handbook. And I'm like, yeah, that's not how that fucking works at all.
So, you want me to tell you my plans for Christmas, you know, in April?
Nah. Wait, 2 weeks before.
You're like, hold on. Let me just make sure. Is this an April 1st email? This has to be April Fool's, right?
We off by 9 days. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, you gotta love the floating rules, right? The ones that are it changes on a whim. Yep.
Oh man! All right, well, let's get into the meat of the show, Adam. What are we here for?
Let's do it.
We got a. I made a spreadsheet. I don't know if that's good or bad. When I start doing data,
Mike in the sheets is it can be good, it can be bad, it can be all of it. It can be. The best thing you've ever seen, too. Yeah, you know?
It's the only time anybody will call me a freak in the sheets is a spreadsheet.
I mean, this is the framework. This is the framework for the freak in the sheets. You know,
QB framework, Adam. I really wanted to know what went into making an elite quarterback. Right, we've kind of discussed it, but we've never really like had solid numbers on it. You know, it's just kind of what we felt, just by average and how we played the game. So I really wanted to dig into. What goes into making an elite quarterback? And what's the difference between, you know, a pocket passer like Joe Burrow and a rushing guy like Lamar Jackson? Like, what could separate them in an elite season? We've seen Lamar absolutely just destroy fantasy. So I went all the way back, just some framework of the spreadsheet for quarterback framework. I like the play on words here. Toby Maguire, stand up.
I like that. Yeah.
Glasses.
Uh-huh.
I went back to 2019, and the crux of it is anybody in this generic league I created, where it's just basic scoring settings, start 10, start 11. I got to pull it up now. I don't even remember. I should have wrote that down. You know, that would have came in handy, huh?
Might be something we want in the sheet, you know?
Dumbass.
I thought you said start 10 when you told me, but yeah, we should put it.
Start
we should,
10. Start 10.
We should put it in the. We should put it in writing. You know.
Yeah, start 10. Quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, 2 flex, and a super flex.
Okay.
Scoring, I did not touch at all. Right, so it's 4-point passing.
4-point passing touchdown. Standard right. Sleeper.
And just so everybody knows, I think I'm going to do something different with 6-point passing touchdown leagues and just kind of see what the differences are, if there's any, or how much they are. But so I went back. I used this as my warp reference league, right? And I used our warp tool, southharmon.com. southharmonff.com. Go check that out.
Love it.
Come on.
Yep.
Get the warp tool. And anybody at the quarterback position who scored more than a 2 warp in this league made the spreadsheet. Right, that was my cutoff for elite quarterbacks, and it gave me a real nice sample size. Some years, you only had 2 quarterbacks who were over a 2 warp advantage. Other years, you had, I think the biggest one was 2020 COVID year, 7 fucking quarterbacks.
Ryan Tannehill and Russell Wilson just snuck in there, right?
So what I did is I took it and I listed all the quarterbacks out. I listed what their warp was. I listed what their fantasy points per game was using Player Profiler for fantasy points. So shout out to them. Just that's their whatever their baseline of scoring is. But right. I wanted to keep everything the exact same.
Right.
Same data source, everything. What their fantasy points per game were each year, and then averaged it out. So if we just look back, I'll go through the sample size here. 2023, your quarterbacks over 2 warp were Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson. And we just came out of that season. I think we'd all agree they were pretty damn good.
Pretty good. I mean, the one that's interesting to me is how Dak made it after like a pretty slow start. It should just show you how good he was down the stretch.
A horrendous start, right? Like terrible.
The first 7 weeks, so they had a bye, I believe it was week 8, but the first 7 weeks he had one good week and the rest were like sub 18 quarterback weeks.
You will remember better because you remember my L's. More than I remember my else. You know, I like to forget them, put them in the past. But
that's fair.
I remember we did a trade show or something along those lines, and there was a DAC or a CD trade, something in there, and I'm like, I think I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm starting to panic, man. I might sell both of these guys like before it goes in if I sold any shares, which luckily I don't think I did in any of my leagues. Good thing I didn't.
Yeah.
Sure turned it around.
He did. He had a great season at the finish. I mean, and Allen Hurts. Now, Hurts, look, the crazy part about Hurts is he was the flip side as far as the real NFL.
Great start, bad finish.
The real NFL was bad. But, like, if you start looking at the numbers, it wasn't that horrible to finish the season, actually, for fantasy.
So Josh Allen was your leader at 2.45 warp. Jalen Hurts, 2.3. Dak, 2.046, if we want to get into the big decimal points. And Lamar, 2.012. Now, as far as fantasy points scored, what that ended up being in points per game. Josh Allen was a 24-point fantasy score. Pretty good. pretty good. Jalen Hurts, 21.9. Dak, 20.7. And Lamar, 21.1. That's going to be that miss game comes into the factor there.
Exactly. Yep. But, I mean, what I'm seeing, though, you get the 2 warp, and your floor is at least, like, 20 to 21 points in fantasy points per game in this format.
Yep, 2022, it was actually a better year for quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. A couple of repeaters there in Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. But Joey B in there too. Mahomes led the way at 2.7 warp. Joe Burrow, 2.2 was the bottom of that spectrum. But fantasy points, 25, 24.3, 25.6, 21.7. 2021, we only had 2 guys. Josh Allen, 3 years in a row. Bang, bang, bang.
Josh Allen, not just that, Mike, he was at 24 fantasy points per game 3 years in a row, which is crazy. It's definitively higher than most everybody else.
Tom Brady snuck in with a 2 warp on the nuts, even.
That last run in Tampa, man. That last run in Tampa.
The last ride. 24.6 fantasy points for Josh Allen. Tom Brady, 22.8. Interesting season, too, that he had, especially when we get into these other numbers here.
Wait till you see that.
2020, the golden year, the one we were talking about, was 7. Kyler, Josh Allen, 4 years in a row. Now we can correct it. 4 years in a row for Josh Allen.
Correct.
Also, 25.4 fantasy points per game.
Yep.
Pretty elite. Patrick Mahomes, a another repeater from the data on this graph, right? Another repeat quarterback. Yep. Deshaun Watson. When people ask, like, hey, why'd you guys like Deshaun Watson so much? This is where I'm pointing. Once upon a time. Just saying. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill. Now, those last couple guys. Aaron Rodgers, I believe that was an MVP year for him in 2020, so that made sense.
That was the what they were calling the last. You're talking about the last ride, last one. The last dance, right?
Yeah, the last dance before the actual last dance before the last dance.
Correct. It was the last dance of it was the last dance of Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, because they said it was going to be the last dance. They're going to come back one more time, and then they didn't. So yeah. Sorry.
But Russ and Ryan Tannehill sneaking in there. Holy hell. Fantasy points per game, 24.4, 25.4 for Josh Allen, 25.4 for Patrick Mahomes, 23.5 for Watson. Mm-hmm. 24.3 for Aaron Rodgers, 23.3 for Russ, and 22 for Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Man, you remember the days of Ryan Tannehill scoring you 22 fucking points per game, Adam? Yesteryear.
How could I forget? Now, I will say, Mike, this year, I really feel like this data actually spoke to what we're seeing in 23 with zone coverages. Because, like, guys like Tannehill, Russ Wilson, maybe not Rodgers, but maybe Rodgers. And Tom Brady, they to me really kind of feel like closer to you could sneak in with passing and like passing volume. And I just don't know with the new zone coverages how easy it's going to be to get into the two warp discussion at the way that defenses are kind of covering things. But that's a different discussion for another day.
And then 2019, Lamar and Dak, the only two in 2019. So 28.2 fantasy points for Lamar. Holy shit.
This was Lamar's first starting season, for those that forget. And
a first full starting season.
Full starting season. That's what I'm saying. Starting week one. Let me rephrase. Correct. If you remember, teams didn't really know, I think, what to expect from a defensive side of the ball, other than they wanted to stop the run heavily based on what they saw in film in 2018. And like it led to like some humongous pass plays when they happened. Like I remember Hollywood Brown, completely uncontested. He had a really high touchdown rate for the yards that he threw in that season. I mean, he just broke fantasy.
I think it started wasn't like their first game versus Miami.
Yeah. He had like three crazy long touchdowns.
Yeah. Dak got 21.7 fantasy points per game in that, so another repeater.
Which makes me get to this, Mike. So we got, as far as these go, now that we have the information here, because we finished this 2019, you had Dak was at 21 fantasy points per game. He barely was over 2.004. So him and Brady.
Not quite Tom Brady, but he's
still. Him and Brady were like, better. You know, a pass player two away from maybe not making this list. Pretty awesome. But you got 21.7 and you got 28.2 at Lamar. Mike, key takeaways when I'm looking at 5 years of data here. Josh Allen is in four of the five.
Confirmed good.
Then you got two. You got a cluster of two, right? So you have Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott. I think that's end of list.
End of list. Lamar made it twice.
I'm sorry. I was actually typing Lamar here because he was that last year. Lamar, yes. So I wanted to touch on that, and I'm glad you said that, Lamar. Yeah, Hurts, Mahomes, Lamar, Dak, Allen. The one thing about Dak that I think people need to understand, 2019 Dak and 2023 Dak are different things.
Yeah, yeah.
I really believe we have to touch on that point, Mike, because it's going to help us reference and understand this data a lot differently, in my opinion. The current Dak that we know now doesn't have any type of rushing upside, really.
It doesn't feel like it.
He really doesn't, though. He doesn't run the ball. You know what I mean?
So here's the beauty of this, Adam. Talk I also went back and I listed out their passing yards, their rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, and passing touchdowns from the season for every one of them.
Correct.
Now just to your Dak point, and then I'll dive into the other part. So 2023, Adam, we just watched Dak. 4,500 yards passing.
Yep.
242 yards on the ground, two touchdowns, 36 touchdowns through the air.
Mm-hmm.
2019 Dak. More passing yards, 4901. Mm-hmm. More rushing yards, not by much though, 277 versus 274.
And an extra TD.
One extra touchdown on the ground and 30 passing touchdowns.
So let me actually, it's interesting. I pulled up the whole data because, to your point, if you just look at them one season to the next to each other, like one by one, they don't look that different. 2019, Mike, he ran 52 attempts for 277 and three touchdowns. But if you look at that four-year cluster before he got hurt, he was running, like to your point, 282, 357, 305, 277. But he had 6, 6, 6, and then 3 as far as rushing TDs. This year, it's only 2. So it's not that he won't scramble and take off, but Dak Prescott, like inside the 10, you could get this dude running some touchdowns. And the point, I think, really is not that he was ever a massive rusher, but that raises your floor in fantasy football. And I think if I just look at this list, right, I think Dak you could call like a tweener. Like what we saw from him before and what we see from him now, slightly different. I think what I'm looking at is that outside of Mahomes, not saying Mahomes can't run, but Mahomes is not going to be someone that's really giving you a ton on the ground, right? He's more like Dak Prescott right. The way that he's going to be. And we're going to get into this numbers to really help you understand what we're talking about with what it looks like, the framework. But Mike, I'm just saying from consistency standpoint, if we're looking at who's the most likely to repeat, you better be the elite of the elites to throw at throwing the football. But if you rush the ball well, you have a better chance, it looks like, you know?
Yeah. I did average out all the warps and fantasy points per game for each year. So the warp average in 23 was 2.21. The fantasy points was 21.98. That the warp was actually decent, but that is by far and away the lowest out of the five-year sample size for points per game.
So that was a huge point. Yeah.
How down it was for points per game for 2023. 2022 is actually surprisingly good. 2.51 for the warp and 24.18 fantasy points per game. So pretty sizable increase from 2022 from 23.
And if you just look at it, right, 2019 to 22. So there was one season where it's 23.7. The rest are over 24. One is at almost 25 versus 22. Like in a sample size of the whole NFL, 22-21 versus 24-25, it's a big difference, man. Very big difference.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you're doing the rosiest thing, rounding up to 22, it's still, you know, damn near 3 points per game.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Especially, Mike, because I think what was felt this year, because some of the – what we felt was the replacement-level options when guys were getting hurt, they weren't that far off because there's a bigger drop off from the elite guys, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, if you had the old strategy, I feel like I'm not saying it can't get back there, but this strategy of you in like a start 9 and this one's a start 10, you'd use two guys. So for example, if you had two scorers of the 24 there, points per game, like, oh, okay, how do you catch this?
Yeah.
If it's only 22, like it's your team probably is lacking in other places and it's not as big of a difference.
Yeah. We will also dive into one Dynasty Barrier. Our guy kind of brought this up too. We're going to have an episode where we're going to look at the next tier of guys, right? The guys, and I'll take feedback on this too from like what we want to know. Next week, we're going to do a live show with more analysis just on this and, you know, answer some more in-depth questions and, you know, what this actually means in the end of it. But, you know, I will take feedback on that for the next tier. Like, what should the cutoff be? Like, the 1.5, the 1.99 warp kind of guys, anybody who just missed out, we'll kind of see what the tier differences is between them. But the warp average as a whole for everybody is about 2.28, and the fantasy points per game average for an elite quarterback over 2 warp has been 23.77.
There you go.
So I did list it out. Like I said, I listed every quarterback out, what their stats were, the 4 major ones. The big thing I wanted to highlight here, like who the outliers were. So in 2023, Josh Allen's going to be the outlier of all this quarterback data set as far as rushing touchdowns go. Scored the most rushing touchdowns out of all this data set, 15.
Crazy part, though, it was matched, though, by Hurts, no?
Yeah, sorry, matched by Hurts. I conveniently forgot that one. I'm sorry, Jalen.
Well, the only reason I feel like we had to do it is because we had to at least acknowledge the tush push, right? That Josh Allen, like, to think about that, the tush push was, everybody talked about it like nonstop this year. Josh Allen didn't have that and ran for 15. That's crazy.
So Jalen Hurts is also going to be on this list, but for a negative, an outlier for the least amount of passing touchdowns.
Correct.
And that was last year in 2023. He had 23 touchdowns, passing touchdowns.
Surprisingly enough, you could make this list when you have the least amount of passing touchdowns if you have the most amount of rushing touchdowns, right?
Dak Prescott also makes this from last year for an outlier for the least amount of rushing touchdowns. We touched on that one too. Two. He's tied with Tom Brady and Russ, who also only had two in the data set.
Looks like Mahomes there as well that year.
Oh, see, this is why I have Adam.
That's here. Okay. I can see color pretty decent. You know, I like.
You're pretty good, man.
Red and green is easy. You know.
Yeah, gotcha. Nothing to really talk about in 22.
That's it.
2021, Tom Brady is going to be the outlier in a lot of categories. So passing yards, in a good way, the most amount of passing yards out of everybody, 5316.
That's one of the best. That's one of the best passing yardage seasons out there.
Yeah, he had the least amount of rushing yards though, 81, 81 rushing yards.
Mike, and he also had the two rushing TDs. If you basically think about that for a second, everybody. If you don't run at all, this is speaking to the lat, like the low floor. Like, if you run for 81 yards and two touchdowns, you know what you got to do? Over 40 touchdowns. 43 touchdowns through the air, 5,300 yards to be a difference maker.
2020, COVID year here. Aaron Rodgers makes a list for most amount of passing touchdowns in the data set, 48.
That is people. I don't think people really understand. That's another thing about the zone coverages, Mike. 48. Mike, do you know what the leader was last year? Oh, well, conveniently, you've run the data so you can look at it pretty simply. It's 36. Dak. 12 more than the NFL leader last year.
That's nuts. And then 2019, Lamar is the outlier because he has the least amount of passing yards, 3,127. But that the feels most amount of rushing yards.
12, 13. That one feels, Mike, that Lamar one, if we were to have run this data for forever, which we're not going to for the record, that's too much. But like it feels very Cam Newton, very Michael Vick. Like yeah. It's hard nowadays to have only 3,000 passing yards.
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, exactly, would be another guy, yep.
2022.
Yep. Which, by the way, 22 in that great season, he didn't quite make the two warp list, which was interesting.
Yeah, because, again, that probably speaks to the anomaly that Dak was, right? Justin Fields also, like Dak, in 22 for Justin Fields, started horribly, right?
Yes.
By, like, week five, the panic was, he's terrible, sell him.
He, you know what it probably was, Mike, to your point? I think his floor was lower those weeks than Dak's probably was those early weeks.
Really bad. Yeah, probably really, really bad. So I averaged out all the stats, right? The entire data set. So this gives you kind of an idea of what, like, if you were to build a quarterback in the lab and tell him, I want to be an elite quarterback who's going to give me more than two warp. And as we see, there's not a quarterback on here who's giving you more than two warp that's scoring less than 20 fantasy points per game, right? They're hitting 20, at least.
Minimum. And
could be all the way up. I think there's only one per game.
There was only one that didn't hit 21, by the way, Mike. Dak last year was 20.7. Most of these guys give you 21 fantasy points a game.
Or more. Yep. I told you the fantasy points average for the entire data set is 23.77. So
yeah.
That's the
crazy.
Average. Mm-hmm. if you were to build a quarterback in the lab, right, to hit this two warp, 23.77 fantasy points per game, right?
Yeah.
You got to have 4,332 passing yards, which is a sizable number. You need to throw 33.39 touchdown passes. But here's the kicker for me, Adam. You need to run for 505 yards and at least six touchdowns.
Correct. And, Mike, I think that's why this is in a lab, because that rushing number, if you don't really look at this information that much, like if you haven't gone through and seen what really is a running quarterback and what isn't, like these are running quarterback numbers.
running quarterback numbers.
Those are running quarterback numbers. And I think that's what speaks to the floor is like you probably could have a runner going to like 700 rushing yards or 8 touchdowns or 12 touchdowns changes out the data set, and it's easier to get there with rushing. When you take that rushing out, you got to go Brady, man. 5,343 touchdowns. Like, that's the thing about it is because it feels like there's very much two styles of quarterbacks right now. Like, we have yet to see a quarterback truly be this lab player. I think you could argue Dak before the injury was the closest that you saw.
Right. So I was intrigued because the number was so high. I was like, yeah, holy shit, like this is even more than I thought it was going to be. So I did put in running outliers and passing outliers. And the way I did it, anybody in the data set who, we'll do passing outliers first. Anybody in the data set who ran for less than 400 yards total.
Okay.
400 yards.
Like it.
The average is telling you need to be at 505, so 400 yards or less. Like, I wanted to see who the big outliers were and what your stats needed to be in this data set to kind of still be in that territory, right? Like, to factor it in. Because we got Dak in here. We got Patrick Mahomes in here. We had Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers made this with not very good rushing numbers. And Ryan Tannehill, another guy who didn't have elite rushing numbers, at least yardage-wise. So yardage was the easiest one for me to do. And if you had less than 400 rushing yards, you had to have 4,792 passing yards. And you can round that up because it's 0.71. So 4,793 passing yards. You needed to still run for 239 yards. 239 yards, Adam.
That's crazy. And
you needed to get at least 3 rushing scores on the ground. And we had a few guys who only got 2. But your passing touchdowns also needed to be 38.86, which is, round that up, 39 passing touchdowns. You got to throw for 4,800 yards. Still have a handful of rushing yards and a handful of touchdowns on the ground, too.
Right. Dang it. Like, it's – I'm curious where your head's at on this right now, as we're not quite halfway through the episode, but the information is starting to, at least to me, speak to a lot of things. I'm curious where your head's at this point going through the data set.
It's really lending me to be more critical of who I rank as top dynasty quarterbacks going forward and being more realistic with their range of outcomes. Can you have outliers? Yes, I see fucking Tom Brady on this list, but how big of an outlier is Tom Brady? If that's the average of those guys, those passing outliers, think about it for Tom Brady. He needed 4,800 passing yards. He smashed that by 500 when he threw for 5,300. He needed 39 passing touchdowns. He got 4 more than that.
Yeah.
4 more. That's 16 fantasy points for a season, right? Right. I can do that math. I ain't that dumb. 4 times 4. Look at me go.
It's good. All right. So, I'm sorry. If you had something else to keep saying, go ahead.
No, but it lines up with the passing outliers. Like, the 4,800 yards, right? Aaron Rodgers is going to fit in that category, right? Didn't hit 4,800 passing yards, but he threw 48 touchdowns. Like, he threw almost 10 more than what he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And he still added the 3 touchdowns on the ground he hit. He was a little short on his rushing yards. But 10 right. passing touchdowns, it's a lot of points. Russ on this list. Russ did not hit the passing yards. Smashed the rushing yards average for a passing outlier, though, by 300.
I did a discredit. You know what, Mike? I did a discredit. The OG Russell Wilson was actually this guy.
Was this dude?
Yeah, he was. We hate Russ now. I did a disservice to Russell Wilson. This was like the creative player, Mike, was Russell Wilson.
It does really feel like that was Russell Wilson, right? 4,300 passing yards.
4,300 passing, 500, 6 touchdowns on the ground. Damn, I'm out here tripping. That was 100% Russell Wilson in a bag.
Somewhere in the 30 touchdown range, passing touchdown.
That
range.
Was Russ. Oh, my that goodness. Was Russ. Let Russ like cook. This was when we wanted to see the creative player. Let Russ cook.
And they ruined him. Forever.
The Russ we know now is so far from this creative player.
So numbers, too, on the passing outlier, too, I wanted to go back and look at seasons, right? Like, who can actually hit this? So as far as the passing yards go, no quarterback was over 4,800 yards in 23.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it was a trivia question you dropped one time. Didn't Tua lead the league at like 4,600 yards?
46. It's crazy. Yeah.
In 2022, Patrick Mahomes threw for over 4,800 yards. In 2021, Tom Brady, Justin Herbert, Matt Stafford, Pat Mahomes, and Derek Carr, surprisingly, threw for that yardage. Deshaun Watson did it in 2020, and Jameis Winston and Dak Prescott in 2019 threw for that much. And then I wanted to look at passing touchdowns. Like, how hard is it to hit 38 passing touchdowns?
Hard.
So I set that as a baseline.
In that was Justin Herbert's year. I think that was 31 of them ever in NFL history.
In 23, nobody did it.
Yeah, Dak led the league at 36, right?
Patrick Mahomes did it in 2022. Tom Brady, Matt Stafford, Justin Herbert did it in 2021. Aaron Rodgers, Brady, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes did it in 2020, and no quarterback in 2019, threw for 38 or passing touchdowns or more.
You know what's crazy, Mike? Remember I was telling you about how the Lamar yards versus TD was really wild ratio? Yeah. 36 passing touchdowns, which is the current NFL lead league. Like, Dak threw for 36. Lamar threw for 36 touchdowns on 3,100 passing yards. Just think about that.
Pretty efficient, wouldn't you say? Touchdown to you.
Outrageous. He's throwing to wide open people, man. That's crazy.
So I also did it for rushing outliers. Like, who can make it without being a very good down-the-field quarterback, like a la Lamar? Nice lead in there from you.
Right.
So I set the bar at less than 4,000 passing yards.
Okay.
Set the bar at less than 4,000 passing yards. So your running outlier quarterback needs to have 3,692 passing yards, which doesn't seem like a lot.
But
it's doable. I think if you look for 2023, I think when I was trying to count, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's like 15 or 16 quarterbacks last year who threw for that number or better.
Yeah, it was. It's like top half of the league, I think, is what roughly. Yeah.
Rushing yards, 747 rushing yards. So you don't have to be Lamar and go over a K, or you don't have to be Justin Fields and go over 1,000.
Yeah, I mean,
700 yards.
I think, though, I'd be curious, Mike. Who, besides Lamar, who ran for over 747 last year?
Ooh.
I bet you it's not that many.
No, because Jalen Hurts was only at like 600, 605 to be exact.
Yeah, Allen was 524. I think the yardage, no, this is not bad. This is correct. I'm just saying that, like, Lamar, my point is running for 747 is like, that's a rusher. The thing is, these guys that end up getting really high, they can destroy that rushing TD number. You get to 15 rushing touchdowns. And
right. The rushing TD number right now, the average for the outlier quarterbacks is 9.67.
Yep.
You can hit that. Your passing touchdowns only needs to be 27.33. Now, I say only 27 when we have guys like Kenny Pickett who, you know, can't get to like 12.
Yeah, I felt like 10 was a tough one for him, you know.
I smashed the fucking over on that last year for underdog too on the early season prop bets, leading into the season. I was so sure about it because the line was like 16 or something. I'm like, this is fucking abysmal.
This is ridiculous. Stop trying, Kenny Pickett.
He's going to have to be fucking terrible to not hit 16 passing touchdowns. And
guess what? He was terrible. He was terrible.
Underdog had that like Iowa, you know, over-under scoring line.
What was the passing yardage number, by the way? You said 3,692. 3,692,
right? Yep.
Okay. So... yeah, Jalen Hurts was 38. I'll count those up real quick while you keep going.
It was just interesting that some of these numbers at least were pretty low. Passing touchdown numbers, and you gotta factor in, man. Like, this is the average of the guys from running the football, and Lamar is definitely in that outlier category because of his low ass passing yards. Mm-hmm. But he had a ridiculous high number of passing touchdowns. Right, 36 was nuts.
Yeah, you don't throw 36 passing touchdowns with 3,127. Mike, to give you a more realistic number, this year, Lamar throws for 3,678 and has 24 passing touchdowns.
So I'm just looking at any quarterback who had less than 4,000 passing yards. So Jalen Hurts last year.
Kyler Murray as well. So you got, Jalen Hurts last year. You got Jalen Hurts 2 years ago. You've got Josh Allen 3 years ago. I'm sorry. That's not correct. Kyler Murray in 2020.
And Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill in 2020. Imagine. We thought Ryan Tannehill was him, man, because he had 7 rushing TDs.
He had 33 through the air, man.
That's good, pretty good. But I would not. I would have had a hard time thinking he ran for 7 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive.
I guess it is interesting how the average works out, right? Because Lamar definitely in that category, 31, 27 passing yards, but 36 passing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts this past year in that category, but he's the outlier in passing touchdowns because his is so low at 23. Funny how that average works out, right? Because Kyler hit it, but he went at 26. Ryan Tannehill made that sample size too, but he was at 33 passing touchdowns.
Let's go through right quick. And actually, Mike, let's do this. The running, I'm going to tally these up. So passing yards under was how many? We had...
For the running quarterback, like who can hit 3,600 passing yards?
Like who? Like which one of the guys that made this data set was under 3,600 yards?
Under 3,600 yards. Nobody was under 3,600.
Or 3,692, I meant. So it was Lamar. Lamar is twice the only person, correct?
Yep. Okay. Lamar's going to be that dude.
Yep. Okay.
Twice. Yep. And I just found another error on the nice. Look at me go. Jalen Hurts last year actually wasn't the outlier for passing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts in 22 is the outlier because he only threw 22 passing touchdowns.
Wow. Okay.
Look at me go.
Good. It's all right.
Nailed it. Found it. Updated. Better. Yeah, Lamar's the one skewing the passing yard sample. Everybody else is hitting that mark. For even sure. Though they're running outliers. Lamar's the dude who's like, nah,
What's crazy about that too, Mike, is moving on from Greg Roman. Remember, what was the name we said how many times going into last year?
Fucking Todd Monken.
Todd Monken. Mike, Todd Monken offense gets Lamar to 36-78. Still below the running outlier number.
Still. Didn't matter. That's Todd Monken.
With first round drafted Rashad Bateman, first round drafted Zay Flowers, like okay, interesting. I was curious if you when you keep going through, I have a couple points that I think are going to be pretty interesting.
So the biggest takeaway from doing the whole data, at least for me, is that it's extremely hard if you're not a running quarterback who is a threat for well over 400 rushing yards.
Right.
Like what I mean. You don't have to be a 500-yard guy, so I'm not going to put the cap there. But just think about like the data set of the passing outliers who are in there, and I'm just putting it at 400. Like anybody less than 400, you got to be over 400. You probably got to be over 400 by a good stretch in order to be considered an elite dynasty quarterback. Like that dude that you're taking in the top 4 of a startup, no questions, if, hands, or buts. And when somebody comes to you with a trade, it's like, we starting at 3 first plus. Like, this is where we're starting, okay? And I still got to, like, sign off on it. Like, where are the first at? You know, what's the other pluses coming? That's where the conversation starts. There's not a lot of dudes, at least for me, that fit that category, right? Just off the rip to really think about it. Now, I think there's definitely an opportunity for a lot of people to be outliers at some times. But consistently year in and year out be a dynasty QB1, you better be fucking mobile. mobile.
One thing that's interesting about that number, because I wanted to talk about this, is like when we saw the days of Tom Brady, I just want people to understand, I don't think, Mike, there's a single quarterback in the NFL right now that isn't going to probably give you 81 on the ground. Like...
Everybody, what was the low last year,
dude? Like I'm just like, that's a statue, right? To give context, the last, Mike, do you know how many yards that Mahomes is getting the last 4 years in rushing?
200, 300.
It's actually, yeah, so it was 308, 381, 358, 389. The reason I wanted to bring that up is Mahomes can have godlike passing yardages, but Mike, he's got 350, 390 on the ground coming his way too. This year, he also happened to run for the first time since his rookie season, where he only started one game. for no touchdowns, Mike. He's normally a 2-4 touchdown guy. So, like, if you think about it, if you gave Mahomes 4 touchdowns on the ground with 358, with what he can do as a passer, like that's I guess what I want to say is the rushing floor for these guys. It's not even that hard. There's not that many running. There's not that many quarterbacks that are not capable of getting that 200 to 300 yards on the ground nowadays.
So here it is. Here's the list from last year. Tua, 74 rushing yards.
And Mike, can I tell you, that's where I think Tua actually is underratedly problematic from a fantasy standpoint.
Matt Stafford, 65 rushing yards.
Stafford is, yeah, there you go.
Will Levis only played 9 games, but he only had 57 rushing yards.
I would have thought that'd be higher, but if you average that out, he's over 100 probably, right?
He's over 100, yeah. Kenny Pickett, 54 rushing yards in 12 games.
Crazy. I would have thought he would. Remember, he ran for like all those touchdowns last year. I would have thought he had higher rushing yards.
Derek Carr, 40 rushing yards in 17 games. Jared Goff, 21 rushing yards in 17 games.
I should have guessed Jared Goff. Jared Goff actually is the quintessential zero rushing floor. That's fair.
Absolute bricks.
But those guys are all outside of Levis and Tua, more like back in the day draft picks, so to speak. Like they're
back in the old school.
8 years or more ago, right? Draft picks. So
if you think about it for this class, like coming in, right? Caleb's got some mobility. Drake May has mobility. JJ McCarthy definitely has mobility.
And for sure.
Fucking Jaden Daniels sure as hell does.
Jaden Daniels would be, I think Mike, the way you had it there is perfect because those three have mobility. Jaden Daniels has running outlier.
I think that's where we 700 yards, but I could still finish as an elite quarterback.
I think that's what we have to start discussing and making terminology almost like universally understanding. There's a difference between you need mobilities. It has to happen. Otherwise you don't have a ceiling.
That's crazy, man.
You have to have mobility to have a ceiling at all. Like all these guys have mobility to get to elite rushing where you don't throw the ball well, you have to be a running outlier quarterback. And that's where you get excited for A-Rich. That's where you get excited for Lamar. That's where you got excited for Fields. He didn't actually hit it, Mike, and then the problem with them, the inherent problem with those type of quarterbacks is what, though? When you get to running outliers, can they keep a fucking job?
Can they not get injured? Can they stay consistently on the field?
Can they sustain the rushing workload? Kyler Murray, right, got hurt. Can they handle that type of rushing in the NFL? Can they keep a job? Are they good at football? Now, when you're brand new rookie, it took Fields. Fields wasn't good, and he got what? 3 years?
Yep.
So you'll get that, but again, keeping that job, even with high-end draft capital, is probably where it's more problematic. So
it's a little tougher, right?
The one thing that the reason I wanted to mention all that, man, I'm curious where you stand on certain quarterbacks now looking at this, because I'm having like flashback second thoughts on certain players in fantasy right now that are very controversial, let's say.
Yeah. Let's dive into it, and then we'll get some questions, right? Some follow-ups next week when we go live. And if you had anything more in depth, there's a few other things I want to talk about. We'll save rookies for that because rookie drafts are coming up. You know,
yep.
Unless you're a degen like me and you've done half of your rookie drafts already. Too late. I wish I would have fucking had this though before. Let's stick with the NFL guys, right? Apparently, Keep Trade Cut corrected themselves. CJ Stroud was only QB1 for a moment. As of right now, he is QB3.
Okay. It happened briefly.
It was a fleeting moment. It's Mahomes, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud right now. They're all in a tier.
It'll come back. Don't worry, Mike.
All right, Patrick Mahomes. Let's start with him.
Yeah.
Instant analysis. Based off of this and what you know, what we've seen, what we discussed, any doubts about Patrick Mahomes being a top three tier one quarterback in Dynasty?
I say no. Now, I will say when you go to the when you look at these numbers and aggregate them out and average them, Patrick Mahomes is not quite the rushing of the average, right? So 500 rushing yards, he's not quite that. He's probably not 6 rushing touchdowns. But he's proven with how good he is as a thrower that he can offset that with passing yardage average and also with touchdown average of 33 and 43. Like, he's going to probably get that in his worst of seasons. So I think he still does. And also, Mike, the thing is, his rushing floor, I think, is better than most people probably realize. Rushing for 300 to 400 yards, right?
300 to 400, and he's probably going to get 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Exactly. So if you just say, all right, even in his worst year, he's probably going to give you 2 rushing touchdowns, and he's going to give you 400 rushing yards. He's got to offset passing by 100 rushing yards, right? So that's not – it's just not that much that he has to do – because he's such an elite passer, right? So
yep.
I think he's probably the rare one that is not on the running outlier side of things that I still feel like, yeah, this guy's still elite, though. You know what I mean?
Still good.
Yeah.
Yep. Still good. Yep. Josh Allen. This is an easy one,
I mean,
I would say.
It's just...
dude's been on this fucking list 4 times.
For people that don't really understand it, though, like... I don't think people also understand. No, he hasn't just been on this list 4 times. Now, I will be interested to see, because the 1 year he started where he didn't have Diggs was the year he missed the list. So I'll be curious to see where the floor falls to, if it can fall, if it does fall. But for 4 years in a row, this guy has been 25 points, 24 points, 24 points, and this year in one of the lowest years in quarterback for a while, 24 fantasy points. Mike, he's beating the fantasy points per game average of the elite quarterbacks by himself the last 5 years.
The Josh Allen one is good because it kind of feels like the Patrick Mahomes of 2022. Like, Patrick Mahomes just lost Tyreek Hill. Like, this offense ain't going to be the same, right? And what's he do? He comes out of his best fucking year he's ever had.
I mean, at least, like, with that one, you're like, okay, well, Mahomes is a really good passer of the football, but he's always had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Him losing Diggs doesn't mean he's not going to run for 15 touchdowns again on the ground. Like, shit, you know what I mean?
20 this year. You know
that's what I'm saying. It does. Like, it basically just means that Josh Allen has to be a better running quarterback, because maybe he doesn't throw for 4,300 passing yards this year, Mike, without Diggs.
I would put money on it's at least 4,000.
But that's my point. It can come down some, and he can run like a gazelle still, and we'll be fine. You know.
Yeah, he's absolutely a unit. So, no question for me that he'd still be up there. Another thing, too, like with the Josh Allen and Diggs thing, 2019, his first 2 years, you're going to point to it. One, he was a rookie, finished as QB14. And his second year, like you're talking about, he still finished as a QB1. He was QB11 in points per game.
Right.
It was at 18 fantasy points per game. The crazy thing when I look at it, yes, no shade to Stephon Diggs, and you and I can both acknowledge how big of a get that was, like an elite receiver for him, and it definitely helped out. Sure. But the other thing, like people, I don't know if we forgot, like it was a big deal at the time, going from year 2 to year 3, how much he improved as a passer, and you can actually quantify that. His second year there, the one that you talked about where he's outside this list in 2019, 58.8 completion percentage. Which in the NFL is like fucking abysmal.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, we haven't actually seen him be that elite passer that he is without having a guy. Diggs used to be. He's not currently. He used to be the guy that would just get open. Like, Deontay type, you know? Like, you know he's open. Like, that's the only thing, is we haven't seen that. To your point, he's had, what, 4 years now of improvement as a passer, though. He's not just going to revert. Let me just rephrase. I don't think he's going to revert back to 2019 levels of Josh Allen passing. Right.
Right. Even if he did. Even if he did. Sure, he falls out of the elite tier, but he's still fucking pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. I think with Josh Allen, we're a little bit too aggressive on it. But I think there's definitely a case to be made that he's not as efficient as a passer, that he's, you know, not quite as a 4,300 to your point. Maybe he comes down to 4K. But what are we talking about here, man? This is a guy that's still running 500 yards is in his bag. 10 to 15 touchdowns on the ground, it's like clockwork.
All right, well, let's get to the man of the hour. You had time to digest this since the aforementioned Stephon Diggs is not in Buffalo with Josh Allen. He is now in Houston with C.J. Stroud. At the data with C.J. Stroud, where do you think he's justified being QB3?
I'm curious where you're at right now. I'm actually
– No.
You don't think so? All right. I got a couple takeaways here. I still lean no. The one thing when I look, right, so we have a 15-game sample size. It's almost a full season, realistically. He ran for Mike for 169, I believe, was what I was looking at. 167. Right. Now three touchdowns. So it's
– He hit that part of the data set.
Yep.
Sure.
Here's where I'm at with him. Is this – Mike, because I think C.J. Stroud showed me versus Georgia that he could run when he wants to. Like, could he end up being a Patrick Mahomes 300-type runner? I think he probably could.
Yep.
So, the big thing, then, is, like, two things. What do we think of his passing yardages last year? And 23 touchdowns, I feel like that's a number that can come up to, right?
So just by the data set, though, right, if he has to hit that passing outlier, because I don't think he's a 400-yard guy.
No, so he probably could get a little north of this, but let's just say he's a passing outlier guy. Yeah, let's go with that.
He's got to hit 4,800 passing yards.
So with 38 touchdowns.
Let's start with what he did last year. Passing yards, 4,100. And I think with the acquisition of Diggs, maybe you could put him in that 4,800.
That's where, let's just do it with a 17-game sample size, Mike, because you take, 4,108, divide that by 15. And you multiply by 17.
So he was at 273.
He was on, he was on 46.56 with.
Okay, so he doesn't have to improve too much there.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Doesn't have to improve too much there. The touchdowns, though, 23 passing touchdowns, and he needs to hit almost 39.
Yeah, so 38.86, but let's go 30, divide that by 15. And we times it by 17. So, I mean, he's on pace for 26. To your point, he's got that's a 12 over the course of the year, 12 more passing TDs roughly.
Now we will throw into it. He was a rookie last year, and players do get better and they get more efficient. I understand that, but 12 feels like a big fucking number, don't it? Like
it does.
Like, how many other people are we going to project to make a 12 passing touchdown jump? That's a lot.
It is. I'm just looking, though.
You know, barring, like, missing almost an entirety of a season, right? Like, you'll see 12 in the counting stats go up, but.
Yeah. I'm looking here. There's,
What was it, passing touchdowns per game?
Per game, so it's 23 divided by 15, which is 1.6.
1.6, and what do you get if you take 38 divided by 17? So if you played a full season.
Yeah. You're looking at 2.2.
He's got to throw a half a touchdown a game more.
Yep.
Every other game, he's got to score one more touchdown throwing the ball through the
air. I will say, when I look at his game log, what's really interesting is at Baltimore, at Carolina, at New York Jets. Now, the at New York Jets game, I don't know if you remember that, Mike, but that was rough weather.
Right.
He had 10 completions for 91 yards. I feel like that basically it throws his data set off. The reason I want to bring this up, though, those three games are really bad. Carolina's 140. Do you remember that Bryce Young game? Him and Bryce Young were both terrible in that game, bro.
Just a fucking mid-off if there ever was.
One of the worst games to watch in fantasy. But the one thing this guy has going for him that most people don't as a passer is what?
Just ridiculous amount of weapons.
That and he's inside.
And plays a lot of his games in the dome, and he plays in a division that's in the South.
South, so yes, there you go. So, like,
even on travel games, yeah.
That's where there's a little Mike, I'll tell you this. I still will answer the question. If you have to give me a definitive yes or no, I'm going to say no, but I'm starting to see a little bit of a glimmer because there's certain things that could check out where he's not that far off. The one thing I'm also curious how this shakes out. If you look at the data across this, right? Like, I don't know how to explain this other than just to kind of say it how I'm thinking about it. With 23, the passing coming, just the passing overall numbers coming down, if you're a differentiator as a passer relative to the fantasy points coming down again, I could see C.J. Stroud only having to keep pace. Like, the only running quarterbacks that are elite elite until we see guys stay healthy like Anthony Richardson. If Jaden Daniels takes that step forward, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. Like if I think about Dak Prescott's season last year and him to make this, tell me CJ Stroud can't do that. You know what I'm saying? I think the lower floor, the lower ceiling for the QBs in general could play into his hand, if that makes sense. Like, we haven't seen that much fantasy points per game the last year, and if that number is more here to stay with zone coverages, I could see it with CJ Stroud. I think I'll say this. I think CJ Stroud, you're still betting on an outlier, though. That's, I think, the way that I'd put it, right?
So my synopsis is when you ask me and I say, no, he doesn't belong in there. That's more right now because I have to do a lot of projecting.
Right? Correct.
One, I haven't seen him do it yet. Two, and I got to project and like come out with rosy outcomes to do it. I'm 1,000% with you. There is no reason he couldn't have a Dak Prescott-esque season, whether it's from 23's Dak Prescott line or 2019 Dak Prescott, who we've seen make this list twice. He definitely could do that.
Yeah.
My biggest problem is he is currently ranked and valued over guys who I know for a fucking fact should be on this list as yeses. Yes, because they're already on the list. Like, I've seen them do it. And if I got to – I don't have to do projecting because they're fucking already hitting these running outlier versions, right? Like, they're already there because of their elite rushing upside. So, like, when you get to Lamar Jackson, should C.J. Stroud be above Lamar Jackson in Dynasty? My answer is simply no.
Okay.
Not at this time.
Okay.
Right? Because if you want to go look at Lamar, Lamar's made the list twice already himself. And we know he doesn't have to hit he doesn't have to hit these gaudy passing numbers because his rushing is already so damn high. Like, he has such a jump start on everybody else. He's the outlier of the outliers when it comes to rushing quarterbacks because he's got the lowest passing yards you've ever seen from anybody who's made this list.
Sure.
And what's fucking crazy to me, Adam, Lamar's on there for the lowest amount of passing yards on this list by a long shot at 3,100. You even mentioned it was like, holy shit, that's incredibly low. Like, we got to do mental gymnastics to think of quarterbacks who held jobs for a whole year that only threw for 3,000 yards. It's not a lot. It's not a lot. But the other crazy thing about it, when you factor in that season, Adam, who's the top scoring quarterback out of this entire fucking list? And what year Lamar. Was it? 28 fantasy points.
Because he ran for 1,213 yards, which is just...
still threw 36 passing touchdowns.
It's just stupid, yeah.
You've seen Lamar break fantasy. Like, you couldn't comprehend what he can do. So, when I say, like, Lamar definitely deserves to be over C.J. Stroud, that's one for me. The other one is Jalen Hurts. Needs to be in that conversation.
Yep.
I mean, now, I don't know what else people need to see from him in back-to-back years. He's smashing the running outlier numbers. Like, his passing yards was below it in 22. His passing touchdowns are below the running outliers, but his rushing touchdowns are off the charts, and his rushing yards are right on par.
Now, I will say, though, while I definitely get you and I tend to agree with you, I'll say this. I think Hurts, to me, is the most interesting one, because to me it's hard to see Hurts not ahead when I look at the fact that Jalen Hurts, the last 2 years, the floor for him was this year, 22, I think. And like, and I look at 2022 season now. Okay, 22 points per game. Let me just rephrase if you're not looking at the data. Yeah. This year, he had 22 fantasy points per game. In the 22 season, 25.6.
Yeah.
So I see there's a pathway for Jalen Hurts to get to that winning your league fantasy points per game, right? You mentioned it about Lamar, and it's there. One thing about Lamar, though, is that he had to have the outlier throwing touchdowns on, like, unreal amount of numbers and yardage. This year, I think with Lamar, you see, again, 21. So I think Lamar at his floor isn't necessarily safe, as we want to say, but one thing for sure is Lamar can break fantasy still. I think Lamar's ceiling, Jalen Hurts' ceiling, both is probably higher than C.J. Stroud's. Like, it just checks out in the numbers with what we've seen. The other thing is with Jalen Hurts, if you're that bad, if you think he's that bad, we just saw his floor, which look at Dak Prescott this year. Let's say CJ Stroud's like a Dak Prescott. He's very efficient as a passer. That's Jalen Hurts' floor might be what CJ Stroud's ceiling could be, realistically. That's where Jalen Hurts, to me, I think, should be ahead. Lamar Jackson, if you're worried that because he's so dependent on this rushing floor and he's getting older or whatever, I'm not going to rank it that way. I could see someone looking at this data and going that route because they think CJ Stroud's safer long term. But Mike, I have a hard time, I think, with Jalen Hurts. I have the hardest time with Jalen Hurts' dynasty value, I guess, of all the quarterbacks currently, given what I've seen out of him the last two seasons. I guess that's what I'm trying to say overall in general with this.
Another argument I've heard about Jalen Hurts is the tush push. You know, no Kelsey. What if that goes away? Here's the thing. When did people start hearing about the tush push? When did that become a thing?
I mean, it really took off last year, like being the big time talking point. But
right, but we started to see it in 2022, didn't we?
I was gonna say 22 is when it was started. 23 it became the thing, right?
Go back and look at Jalen Hurts' numbers from 2021. No tush push. They didn't run it. Wasn't a thing. 10 rushing touchdowns, 782 rushing yards, 21.4 fantasy points per game. Now, he didn't make this data set, but I bet when we go to the next group, right, when we look at it, in 2021 season, he's right fucking there. Like, he might be 1.9.
Yeah, I mean, that's where, like, the tush push, for example. Now, you had a great center. You had, obviously, the offensive line made it, like, where it didn't require... What seemed like it seemingly didn't require a lot of extras. But I just want people to understand that Jalen Hurts, the reason partly the tush push starts to get implemented is because it's like, okay, we also got that dude behind Kelsey.
We got a quarterback who squats 600 fucking pounds.
We're not doing this with Philip Rivers of the old, right? This is like part of the reason.
do you remember early in the season with Arizona, right? Jonathan Gannon from Philly.
There you go.
The defense coordinator, he goes there. The fucking Cardinals are trying to run the tush push with Clayton Tune, man. Do you remember that early part of the season?
Yes.
They scrapped that shit pretty quick, too. We're like, that was good.
That maybe that isn't. But it's maybe not that. He maybe ain't him. Like, it's part of the reason you start doing things like that is because it's like, all right. Now, I think what ended up happening, Mike, is that made a lot of sense because you did have a great O-line. You had a guy that could implement it at the line, but you know behind you, you've got this stallion. If they don't have Jalen Hurts, if it's still Carson Wentz or Nick Foles, are they even running the tush push? Like, it probably doesn't even become something that they try to make their primary play down there. I think that's another thing to consider is, like, it didn't happen by accident. Part of it is because Jalen Hurts is under center. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's nuts. Let's get to a couple more, and then we'll bounce out of here before we teased already. But next week, live 4D chess. So if you want to tap in for that, if you're a Patreon, mind you, it's going to be a Patreon show, the live one. The re-recording will still come out normal on Friday, just like always. But
right.
If you're a Patreon and you're interested, you got some questions, hit us up. Or if you're listening to the show, hit us up on Twitter or something, too, if you got an in-depth question or something you'd like us to look at for future episodes regarding this. All right, Joe Burrow. Where are you at on Joe Burrow? I think right now Keep Trade Cut's got him at quarterback 6. Kind of feels right. I feel like him and CJ Stroud are in that conversation, and I don't really care who you – I probably lean Stroud just because market seems to favor Stroud, to be completely honest, but I think it's a real conversation on which one you want because they're both going to probably fall in this passing outlier status. And they both kind of can have these Dak Prescott seasons. I might favor Joe Burrow just a little bit more with the explosiveness of Ja'Marr Chase and sometimes the things we've seen out of that offense. So what's your thoughts on him? Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud, where would you rank him right now?
Yeah, I think, Mike, you know what's funny? The Burrow one's interesting because you referenced Patrick Mahomes of 22, and I think – Mike, it felt like to me, Patrick Mahomes of 22 was born from, like, Patrick Mahomes' energy on the – he got a chip on his shoulder because there was so much negativity.
Off, yeah.
And I think we just maybe were a little bit – maybe a year too early on Patrick Mahomes. Like, because of that, this year we saw what we were kind of projecting in 22.
What we were worried about, yep.
And so the reason I think that's relevant is Joe Burrow, Mike, if they lose T. Higgins, he's still got Ja'Marr Chase, but I think if they're down T and they're down Tyler Boyd, and let's say another rookie they draft, one comes in, right? Whoever that's going to be, Brian Thomas, I know, has been mocked there tons. Let's even say it's him. He's got all these LSU boys around him, but does the passing weapons coming down make him not? He already hasn't made this list. He already hasn't actually been the elite warp difference maker. Now, granted, this isn't 4 points per passing touchdown. I had a feeling if you tinker this up to six, he have a chance.
He was on there. 2022, he made the list.
Oh, was he? I apologize. Yep. Okay, so he's made this list one time. I'm sorry. I was looking at the list of guys that are repeaters. You're right. So I just think that it could come down for him. So he may not be the – I think the weapons – point is overall, the weapons check more C.J. Stroud's way right now than they do with – Joe Burrow if T. Higgins is gone. Now, if T. Higgins is back, Mike, you could say that the weapons check Joe Burrow's way. So, overall, it was a longer-winded way of saying I could make the case either way. I lean C.J. Stroud right now because I think the weapons for him are probably going to be what he had last year plus Stephon Diggs. So, you get another year of rapport with that. I lean C.J. Stroud, but to me, they both are in the same category, a bucket, right? They're passing outlier quarterbacks.
I'm going to save this guy for next week.
Okay.
Let's save this guy for next week, so I'll skip over him. Okay. He who shall not be named. Uh-oh. But let's go to Kyler Murray, who's also made this list once.
Okay.
Been on this list. You kind of saw what Kyler did on the ground. Where are you at with Kyler heading into 24? Obviously, we start with the weapons, but we don't really know because it does feel like that hinges on what they do in the draft, doesn't it? Because as the weapons are currently constructed, it's fucking Trey McBride and nobody.
Right, and that's where you
Sorry, all you Michael Wilson stands out there. Trey McBride, nobody.
That's where it feels like, you know, maybe part of it is the Trey McBride's heavy workload maybe came because he had no one else. I think, Mike, part of the problem with Kyler Murray is it depends on his health. He was the number one option in 2020. 2021 plays 14 games. 2022 gets hurt, like seriously hurt, and then this last year, because of that injury, didn't play until the very end of the season. So it's like, I think Kyler Murray, the biggest concern probably is health. A quarterback that rushes like that is that small. Because we've seen when he plays on the field the whole time, what he did in 2020, it's closer to break fantasy than it is bad.
Anything else, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think Kyler Murray is one of these options. All offseason, I think he's been a buy for me. He's going to be a year removed from the injury now, right? It's like all the things I think are aligning, especially with them having an early pick. Even if they trade back, I think they're taking a first-round receiver somewhere. I like Kyler Murray on this list. I think he has not made it twice, but I think he checks the boxes for – actually, let me rephrase again. Let me not dismiss Kyler Murray. He could be closer to this create a quarterback guy as well. Like, he's a little heavier on the rushing yards, but it's not significantly different, Mike, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think the year he was number one, for the record, right? He was 39-71, so basically 4,000 passing yards, 26 passing touchdowns. So he didn't make the list as far as passing yards and passing TD. But that was offset by 8, 19, and 11. Now, granted, he had to have 11 rushing touchdowns, but even if he only runs for 7 or 8 of them, he's in this mix of over 2 warp. So he's a guy right now that if I get out of that list that we just talked about with Joe Burrow cutting off, if I miss that tier, Kyler's the next one that I really, really like to get because I've seen it from him before, and he doesn't cost that. He's in a totally separate category as far as cost.
So last year, if you just kind of look at it, I mean, he only ended up playing 8 games. If you were just to prorate it out to a 16-game season, right, you can double it up. His passing yards would have been 3,600. His rushing yards would have been almost 500. Rushing touchdowns would have been 6. His passing touchdowns would have only been 20, though.
Okay.
But he was scoring 18.9 fantasy points per game last year, which isn't great, right, as far as elite goes, but he's still – a clear quarterback one.
Sure. I think when we get to the next part of the list, Mike, the running quarterback, I think what'll be interesting to see, I don't want to speak like get the cart in front of the horse, so to speak. But I think what's interesting about these rushers is if they don't actually break fantasy or they're not in the win your league category here, like Kyler feels like a guy that'll safely fall into the next tier that we'll get when we dive into that data.
Yeah, it does. Pretty safe in that next tier. Super high floor guys. But Kyler feels, I'm kind of with you, he kind of feels like a little bit of an outlier in that tier where I go, yeah, I could see him jumping into the next one pretty fucking easily and being right. a multi-time guy on this list. But there right. are some questions because of, like you mentioned, health. Can you keep it all together for a full season and do it?
Yep.
Like Lamar's the outlier on the rushing aspect of it, Jalen Hurts, but those guys have been extremely durable in Correct. Their seasons that they hit, right? Like they're putting together full seasons
but you know
when
what?
They're hitting.
It's funny, Lamar was, like to your point, it's so funny because
until last year.
Until he got paid, people are wondering if he can stay healthy. All of a sudden that money Correct. Keeps you motivated, no?
Let me ask you one more quarterback here.
Okay.
Jordan Love.
I think Jordan Love is probably appropriately valued if you put him in the next tier, guys. I don't
appropriately valued if you put him in the next tier, guys.
QB10
right now.
I just don't. Yeah, Mike, if we prorate him, I'd be curious. If we prorate him week 9 on, whatever it was, when there was literally a switch of the flipping of
it
the
really
switch.
It felt like that. It felt like season. We watched it live with Cody and Maddie.
By that point, Mike, I think the flip was switched, and I was like, damn, okay, maybe this actually happened. But you're right. I remember watching that for a whole half, like, wait a minute. He doesn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying, I think if you did that math, maybe he could make this list. I feel like he's probably just outside this list realistically. And when a great season happened, maybe he could have it. I think he's a passing outlier probably.
It feels like his ceiling is probably like a Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Esque.
I think that's what I'm saying exactly. Yeah, he's a guy that I think could make this list in his best of best passing seasons, but he's probably a passing outlier.
Because he did 41-59 last year through the air, 247 and 4 on the ground, and Ooh. 32 passing touchdowns.
I'll tell you what, 247 and 4 on the ground, Mike, makes him closer to the Mahomes runner than I would have thought.
Yeah, a little bit. He was running more early in the season, though, so to your point about doing the week 11 thing on.
Yeah.
He only had – so he had a 23, 39, 37, 21, and 34 before week 11. He only hit plus 20. His highest rushing total was 39 yards one time. The next highest is 12.
So, okay. And that actually kind of makes sense when you think about it. A guy that's not throwing as efficiently and isn't feeling as comfortable is going to take off and run a little more, right?
Settling in, and then as he got settled in, he's like, "I don't need to run."
Now that I feel confident in the pocket or even rolling out, I'm going to throw it. So yeah, I think I feel very strong about my assessment, Mike, of he's a passing outlier guy. I think I was wrong about my first assessment of the guy. He's not a bad quarterback. I think he's probably going to be, you got to hit a Dak type season, Joe Burrow type season, Brady type season, where he's very efficient. And he could probably make this list, but I think that's where he's probably appropriately valued, Mike. Next tier guys, right? He's in that tier 3, tier 2, whatever you want to put it.
So next week we'll talk about some more analysis with this. Same list, going through it. If you got a question, definitely bring it to us. But some other guys that I want to hit, I'm going to tease, right? Justin Herbert. That was the guy I glossed over. What are we doing with Justin Herbert in 24? Oof.
This your one's going to be tough.
Your boy, Anthony Richardson. We saw an incredible start.
I think A. Rich fits this running outlier quarterback by a country mile.
Trevor Lawrence, Brock Purdy, and then obviously, Dak Prescott will be in that conversation too, but then we'll talk about these rookies. Jane Daniels, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May. How do they slot in? No, I will not be talking about Bo Nix. Will not be taking any questions. Sorry,
I have a feeling he might – obliged with Michael Penix, but that's neither here nor there.
That's a tough one to do too. It's like he's like two different fucking quarterbacks, man.
I just mean it from like that's just Mike telling you he hates Bo Nix and he does.
Sorry, okay. Bo, I don't like you.
I think my key takeaways we kind of went over, right? Understanding the characteristics that your quarterback has, Mike. We right. You know what's funny is we did an episode in 4D, and I made a thumbnail, and I was like, I'm trying to remember the exact wording, but I had Jaden Daniels, and it was like, what you should be looking for in a quarterback, and this puts actual numbers to that conversation. Like, what are the characteristics? And when you look at the overall body of the quarterback that you're specifically talking about in their offense, I think that's something that we'll get to next week with Justin Herbert. In their scheme, in their offense, what does that look like? And are you appropriately valuing, like, what they can actually produce for you? So,
right.
To me, I think key takeaways are running floor. Like, if you're a true rusher of the football, if you stay healthy and you have the job, you're going to have a better chance, I think, to fall into the list we get into next time. But you can break fantasy. You can do it through the air, Mike, but you have to be, I think, even more of an outlier to do it through the air on a consistent basis.
It really feels like it, too. Once we get, like, the whole numbers into, and I go to that next tier of guys, I think the final thing is I just want to count up, like, who makes the list? Who makes the data set? Even that next tier guys. And what's the ratio of guys we would classify as runners with more than 400 rushing yards on the ground and guys that we would classify as strictly those pocket kind of guys?
100%. You
know, may have some mobility, but they're not hitting 400 yards. And what's the breakdown? What's the ratio? And it'll tell you most likely for fantasy success, at least to hit that baseline tier. And we could do the same breakdown for these guys, but it's pretty easy because just looking at this list right off the bat, it's mostly fucking running quarterbacks who are on the elite of the elite. There's very few passing outliers. Very, very few passing outliers.
Right. I do have a feeling, though, to the same point, Mike, like the running floor will probably keep those guys safely on the list with health. But the next tier is probably where the passers can much easier have a time getting to, you know?
Getting into, right?
Yes.
They don't have to hit as high.
Right,
don't have
correct.
Don't have to aim as high.
But they don't. But that's the point of talking about which ones. Those guys still have to hit good passing numbers to be there. But they probably have a hard time winning you a league. They're going to have to hit high-end projections of their numbers to win you a league.
Hell yeah. This is a fun way of saying stop getting over your skis on Jared Goff.
Yeah, he's probably
not a good bet.
He's a floor guy without the floor of rushing. So just remember, when your league mates are playing chess and drafting Jared Goff, play 4D chess.
That'll do it for us. Make sure you're checking out our partners, Ultimate Autograph, signed sh.it, signed shit. Go check that out. Use promo code HARMAN15 for 15% off. We love y'all. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week for 4D Live for the patrons. Peace.
Peace.